Tony Broom Ministries presents the following message entitled, The Gift of the Holy Ghost.
So exciting to be able to be a Christian. I've always thought that it was good to be a child of God, but especially in the time that we're living in, it's just such a wonderful reprieve and a breath of fresh air to belong to Christ and to be a child of God. We're talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a wonderful gift that's been given to the church. There's nothing else like the Spirit of the living God. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter preached this humdinger of a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he told about Jesus. He told about the resurrection. He told about the one that they had crucified and put on the cross. Even though Pilate found no fault in him, he told about him being slaughtered there. You talk about mistreatment. Who's standing up for the Nazarene? Who's standing up for Jesus Christ? Who's standing up for the one who never did any sin? Yet they spat upon him, they abused him, they put him on a cruel, rugged cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who's standing up for his mistreatment? Who's hollering out for his mistreatment? And yet he died to save us all. Peter talked about him, the one that you slew and put on the tree. God raised him from the dead the third day, and we are his witnesses, and so is also the Holy Ghost. This is what you're seeing. This is what you're hearing about. This is the prophet Joel, who said, In the last days it will come to pass, said God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is who I'm talking about. This is the one I'm talking about. This is the one who will give you the Holy Spirit. And they were pricked in their heart. They said, What can we do? What in the world shall we do? He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is for you and your children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a person. It's not a thing. He's not a thing. He's a person. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. It goes on to talk about him being the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, and neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. He shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you by yourself. The Spirit of God will be with you. He will live in you. He will teach you all things. He will bring things to your remembrance. He will show you things to come. He will speak to you the words of truth. He will glorify me. He will take the things of mine and reveal them to you. This wonderful person, God's greatest gift to the church, is the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that God's greatest gift to a person is salvation when Jesus comes into your heart. But God's greatest gift to the church is a person, the Holy Ghost. That's God's gift to you. He gives him to you. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you this wonderful, special comforter, the Holy Ghost. According to our text verse, we are to be saved. Peter said, Repent. That means salvation. What shall we do? Our heart is on fire. Our heart is pricked because of sin. What can we do? Peter said, Repent. Repent means to turn around. Change your mind. Let God change your heart and your life. Get saved. Lost people need to repent. People who are acting the way that people are acting today, I'm not their judge. And I cannot say individually who's saved and who's not. But born-again people don't act that way. Born-again people don't do that. Peter said, You got to repent. Then you have to be sanctified. That is, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, water baptism does not sanctify you. It does not save you. But he shows here that it deals with sanctification. You have to be saved, repent of your sins. you follow Christ in water baptism, and then you continue and you're sanctified. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, showing that you have had your sins remitted for the remission of sins, and then you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had said earlier in John chapter 20, verse 22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus gives you permission and even invitation and a command to receive the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, I just don't know if it's God's will for me to have it or not. Yes, it's God's will for you to have it. It's also for God's will for you to have Him. Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a person. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a promise. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. There were those in that day who said, well, the promise may be for me, but what about my children? Joel had said in Joel chapter 2, and Peter had said in Acts chapter 2, this is the promise that God gave to Joel the prophet. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's not just for us. It's not just for you. It's for your children and for those who are afar off. So you cannot say it was just for you there in the first century in Jerusalem. You cannot say it's just for their children. You got to go beyond that and say it's more than just for the Jews. It's for those who are afar off, going into Samaria, going into the uttermost part of the world, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth, to as many, all who the Lord our God will call. The Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost is a promise. God promised him for us. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you become a Christian. But you ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. You ask him and you seek him for the baptism of the Spirit. In Peter's day, they said, what shall we do? He said, repent, get right with God, get baptized in the name of Jesus, be sanctified, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, those who ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he will give you the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. It's a promise. He's a promise. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You have to wait for the blessing. You have to wait for the baptism. In this age that we're living, I was on a Zoom conference meeting with the conference, and they said, our children, we've got to keep our children because they are so animated with the screen, and the screen changes so much, and we got to do what we can to keep our children. The Holy Spirit brings that scripture to my mind. Children need to wait on the Holy Ghost just like grown people do. It's not a popcorn Christianity. It's not a microwave blessing. You have to tarry. He told the disciples, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We have expected this popcorn Christianity, this microwave blessing, and if it doesn't happen instantly, we just lose interest and go out. You may go out, but you're going out powerless. You don't have the blessing and power that you need. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. There was a time in Pentecostal circles where we tarried in the altars. We tarried and we sought the face of God, and God rewarded us for it because people were baptized in the Holy Ghost. People were saved. People were born again. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Jesus is there with the disciples, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Not many days from now, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you've got to go in Jerusalem. You've got to go to this upper room, and you've got to wait. You've got to tarry for the blessing to come. And they had to go and wait. And we don't know exactly all of what they did, but they prayed. We know what they prayed. We don't know exactly what they prayed, but they were praying. They were believing God. Lord, you said he would come. You said the blessing would come. You said that you'd give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said, receive the Holy Spirit. We know he's coming. We don't know exactly when he's coming, but we know he's coming. You said he was coming. You died on that cross. You rose from the grave. You said for us to go here and seek the face of God. And we're here, we're ready, and we're waiting. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that if they had not received the Holy Spirit when they did, they would have waited right there until they died. I believe that with all my heart. They would have stayed right there in Jerusalem and waited right there until they died. But they didn't have to wait too long, because Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a person. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a promise, and we're to wait for him. The gift of the Holy Ghost is power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We cannot do Christian ministry without power. You can have a program, you can have a form, you can have a fashion, you can have popularity in the country club Christianity, so-called, but it's powerless. It's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Ghost, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. They were there in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received God's fullness of promise, just like he promised them. And it began to blaze out. It began to blaze abroad. People started getting saved and getting right with God. And now the power of God begins to move out through Jerusalem, out through Judea, into Samaria. Acts chapter 8, Philip goes and he preaches God's word in Samaria, and the gift of God begins to be poured out more and more. Acts chapter 8, verse 17, so they send Peter and John so they can pray for them to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, this promise of the Holy Ghost, this gift of the Holy Ghost. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. How did they receive it? How did they know? Because they had the same evidence of speaking in tongues like they had in the beginning on the day of Pentecost. And when Simon, this is Simon the sorcerer, who had believed and was baptized, and he was this one who was used to be a miracle worker, so-called magic, and he was involved in all this, and he was just carried away because he saw the apostles laying their hands on people. They received the Holy Spirit. It says, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Just give me this power. I want this power to be able to do that. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. The gift of God is not for sale. The gift of God cannot be bought. You cannot purchase it on television. You cannot send me $1,000 and pay off your debts. You'd be a whole lot better if you take that $1,000 and pay it on your debts than to send it to some rich fat cat preacher somewhere. You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy a miracle. There's no amount of money in your bank and in your pocket that you could use to buy a miracle. The gift of God, he says plainly here, cannot be purchased with money. In chapter 10, Peter goes to Cornelius' household. God shows him that everyone is equal. That is, don't call anybody common. Don't call anybody unclean. Doesn't matter whether it's a Jew. Doesn't matter whether it's a Gentile. Doesn't matter whether it's red and yellow. Doesn't matter whether it's black or white. William Seymour and the Azusa Street Revival, they said the blood line washes away the color line. And that's what will do it. That's what will bring us together. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peter preaches to Cornelius' household. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, and he gave us a simple message of salvation. He said, you are already familiar with the word. You know that in the beginning of the baptism of John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And they took him, and they were against him. Pilate gave sentence against him. Our elders and priests and leaders were against him. They took him and put him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, and we are his witnesses. And he commanded us to go and to preach salvation in his name. To him all the prophets gave witness. And it says that while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, those Jews who came with Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? These believers, now on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be sanctified, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, Can any man forbid water? They were baptized in water after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be baptized in water first. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you're baptized in water. And it proves it right here. Can any man forbid water to these which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And they were baptized in the name of the Lord, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Chapter 11, verse 17. They were questioning Peter about this. Wait a minute. You went into these Gentiles, these uncircumcised, they called them, and you ate with them. You fellowship with them. Peter said, Here's how it happened. I was there, and I was commanded to go to Cornelius' household. I began to speak the word of God to them, and immediately the Holy Spirit fell on them, just like on us at the beginning. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, just like he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I, or who was I, that I could withstand God? The Holy Ghost is poured out on all people from all walks of life. Nothing or no one else can bring us together in unity like he can and like he does. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus prayed that they all may be one, even as we are one. The Holy Ghost does this in such a marvelous and wonderful way. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Romans 5, 5, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's love is poured out. He gobs the love of God around in our heart, abroad in our heart, by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. God sheds his love in our life. We have no problem loving our neighbor. We have no problem loving God and loving each other, because the Holy Ghost who is given to us is love. God is love. And he sheds that love of God abroad in our heart. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So God puts us together into one Spirit. In this verse in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your denomination is. Somebody said, well, I would like to have the Holy Spirit. I would like to be able with the Spirit to speak in tongues, but I'm a Catholic. And a preacher told him, said, well, do you realize that Mary, Mother Mary, spake in tongues? And they said, really? He said, oh, yeah. On the day of Pentecost, they were there in the upper room, and it says the disciples were there, and it said, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Do you realize that you don't have to pray to Mary? You don't have to have her to pray for you. She had to get saved just like you do. She had to be sanctified. She had to realize and receive Christ as her Lord, even though he was her physical son. She had to receive him as her Lord just like you do. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke in tongues just like many of us have. So we're all on equal ground. The Holy Spirit does that. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's not just for the priest. It's not just for the prophet. It's not just for the apostle. We have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Jesus, on the Last Supper, he took that cup and he said, drink ye all of it. Now, he didn't mean drink all of it, no more to be in the cup. He was talking about every one of you. Drink ye all of it. They were all partakers of that cup. and they drank from that same cup, that communion cup. And we together as believers, we may not drink out of the same physical cup, but we're drinking from the communion of Christ. All of us are partakers of that body. All of us are partakers of that blood. All of us are partakers of that Holy Spirit. We have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God gives you a down payment. He said, you're not in heaven yet, but here is an earnest, here is a down payment. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a down payment on our inheritance that's coming to us by and by in the sky one day. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that hath wrought us or worked us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. There are a multitude of verses that we could talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you get the idea. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Our generation doesn't need more law, doesn't need more legislation. As a matter of fact, the more Jesus you get, the more the Holy Ghost you get, or He gets you, the less law and less legislation you'll need, because you'll do what's right. You don't have to have someone the badge. Thank God for those who have the badge. Thank God for those who have the gun, because they're here to protect us. They're here to watch over us. We take them as our friend, not our enemy. We take them as someone who will protect us and who will help us be safe. And we pray for our law enforcement. We pray for our military. We pray for those in authority over us. We're not against them. We're not out to do them bad or do them harm. They're not pigs. We don't see them as pigs. We see them as people who are there to do us good. And when you get right and you get born again, you get right with God, you'll have that same outlook on life, because Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit takes control of you and He has control of your life, you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Ghost produces the fruit of the Holy Ghost in and through our life. And this gift, this wonderful person, this promise of God who is given to us, is the greatest gift the church has. We can go to Him. We can pray. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father. But we can ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Give me guidance in this situation. Help our nation. Help us through this thing that we're going through. Help us in the situations that we're facing. Help us to know what to do. Help us to know what steps to take. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know which way I should go, for I lift up my soul to you. That's what the psalmist said. And certainly we in the new covenant can seek the face of God. Paul always sought God, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He encouraged believers. He said, pray in the Spirit. That means pray in English, but it also means pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. He said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you do. And we should pray in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is a powerful thing in the sight of God. It's a powerful thing to break down stronghold. It's a powerful thing to heal the sick and raise the dead. Praying in the Holy Ghost will bring about change in our nation, change in our church. No, we don't need change. We need to go back to the old ways of seeking the face of God and getting right with God, preaching the blood and the cross and the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the gift of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to have this word. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit, the power of the living Word of God. I pray that you would touch our sons and our daughters, touch our families, touch this world. With the same power, the day of Pentecost, the same power of the Azusa Street Revival, the same power of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the charismatic movement in the 1970s, and ever since then, you've been pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh. Let your sons and your daughters prophesy. Let your servants and your handmaids prophesy. Let your young men see visions and your old men dream dreams. And let those whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message entitled, The Gift of the Holy Ghost. Make sure that you have received Christ as your Savior and made Him your Lord. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every sanctified believer is promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. Open up your heart and let the Spirit come in. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.